This is the English translation of a message delivered by Pastor Kok-hyun Yoon on the Advent Worship Service on December 10th, 2023. The message title is A Manger. The scripture passage is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Good morning. Let us read from the scripture. A book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Two candles are lit now. We are currently in the second week of Advent. It is a time to remember the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I would like to share the joy of Christmas with you. Now, regarding today's message, the article is about the time when Jesus was born. After Jesus was born, he was laid in a manger. When you hear this, many people probably think of a scene like this. Please take a look at a photo on the screen. This photo was displayed at the Mana Nursery School's Christmas party held yesterday. This drawing has been on display every year for a long time, so I'm sure many of you have seen it at Mana's Christmas party. It's a gentle and cute picture. When you think of what happened when Jesus was born, an image similar to this photo might come to your mind, filled with divine light, warm and sparkling, and that's where Jesus was born, we think. However, let us put aside that image for a moment and think about the birth of Jesus more realistically today. We accept as a historical fact that Jesus Christ was born on this earth approximately 2,000 years ago. That's why I would like to look at what happened 2,000 years ago from a fact-based perspective. Let us take a look at why Jesus was laid in the manger and what that fact tells us today. If you read the words of verses 1 through 5, you will see that Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, returned to Bethlehem to register as residents. The distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem is approximately 130 kilometers. They would have traveled that distance. I have a few concerns about this move. That means Mary traveled with Joseph. Given the circumstances at that time, Mary did not have to go to Bethlehem to register as a resident. It would have been enough for Joseph, the head of the household, to go and register. Even so, she traveled a long distance of 130 kilometers while she was pregnant. Why did this happen? The answer is found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Book of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. It was prophesied in advance that Jesus the Savior would be born. According to the prophecy, Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. That's why Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem together. Jesus was prophesied up to the point where he would be born. Jesus was born just as prophesied up to this point, but the way he was born was in a way that did not seem like a savior. Let us read the verse 7 again. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Jesus the Savior. Jesus is the King of Kings. Instead of sitting on a throne in the gorgeous and luxurious royal palace, Jesus ended up being laid in a manger. A manger is a container used to store feed for livestock, such as cows and horses. Something like this in the photo on the screen. A manger is a hollowed out piece of wood or a stone that was used to hold fodder, and livestock would stick their heads into it and eat the fodder with their mouth. There's always livestock saliva and dirt on it, so no matter how much you clean it, the dirt that's stuck on it would not come off very much. There's much speculation as to where this manger was located. It may have been a stable, a livestock stable, a combination of a house and a livestock shed, or a cave. In any case, it's not the place where people would live, and definitely not the place where you would want to put your newborn baby to sleep. What is certain is that lying in a manger is a sign of poverty, meanness, dirt, and even rejection. The manger was the only place for Jesus to lie down when he was born. However, there were people who came to visit Jesus. There were people who saw Jesus sleeping in a manger and rejoiced and praised him. Book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The news that the Savior was born was announced to the shepherds, who were on watch at night. When they heard the angel singing, they got up and went to Bethlehem, saying, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem and check out the joyous fact that the Lord has made known to us." Actually, being a shepherd is a very difficult job. They must work tirelessly for the sheep all year round. Spring is the season for sheep to give birth. Newborn lambs are very weak, and great care must be taken to prevent them from dying. In the summer, they roam around in search of green pastures to feed their sheep. Sheep shearing, which is a hard labor, is also done in the summertime. In autumn, in preparation for winter, sheep are migrated to lowlands where the temperature is even slightly higher. They also prepare dry grass for winter food. In winter, food is scarce and the weather is harsh, so they must always be on guard to make sure the sheep don't die. Of course, throughout the year, they must take care to ensure that the sheep do not get sick or injured, and that they are not attacked by wild animals. Being a shepherd is a job that requires constant work throughout the year. Furthermore, shepherds 2,000 years ago were treated as lowly people. Most of the shepherds were not caring for their own sheep, but rather for keeping the sheep entrusted to them for cheap wages. Being a shepherd was an occupation at the lowest level of society, where no matter how hard one worked, he could not rise in status. At this time, the shepherds were camping in the field. They did not sleep, and they were risking their own lives to protect the sheep. They were probably exhausted from working so hard that day. Maybe they couldn't help it because they were sleepy. The birth of the Savior did not mean that that day's work would cease to exist, but still they said, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem," and went to meet the Savior. They put aside the excuses, anxiety, fear, dissatisfaction, tiredness, dryness, busyness, and so on, and went above all else to meet the Savior in the manger. As a result, they glorified and praised God. They probably could not contain the joy the Savior had given them. Even if it is a manger, if Jesus is there, the manger will turn into a place of joy. Let us check another passage for those who met Jesus. In Book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. After the wise men had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men from the east also met Jesus and were overjoyed. We do not know exactly when they met Jesus, but it is said that it was between the time Jesus was born and the time he was 3 years old. Also, it says from the east, but we do not know exactly which country they were from. They were probably people from another country. The wise men from the east traveled across at least one country to meet Jesus. This is a story from a time when people had no means of transportation. There must have been many difficulties for them to travel across the country. However, they still traveled to meet Jesus. Wise men were astrologers who looked at the stars and read fortunes, and they played an important role as advisors to kings in many eastern countries. That's why they noticed the star that signaled the birth of Jesus and were able to travel long distance and over time guided by the star. We can assume that these were probably people who had a great power in their own country. They offered the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus, who was not born in the royal palace but was lying in a manger. According to the Old Testament, gold, frankincense, and myrrh were gifts to kings. They were offering the things they offered to the king, not to King Herod, the king at that time, but to Jesus, Jesus lying in a manger. A manger, it symbolizes being dirty, lowly, poor, and having nothing. But if Jesus is lying there, that manger turns into joy. The person who sits on the throne does not make him the king. The place where the king sits becomes the throne. The very place where Jesus is, the manger where Jesus is sleeping, becomes the throne. The manger in which Jesus was sleeping becomes a place of joy, the joy of the shepherds and the joy of the Magi, was because they encountered Jesus lying in a manger. The manger in which Jesus was sleeping is no longer just a manger. He made people happy, and the manger was transformed into something as precious as a throne. Even if we are dirty, lowly, poor, even if we seem to have nothing, even if we are rejected by everyone, the Lord and Savior of Emmanuel is within us, who can transform us into beings of joy and preciousness. The manger is turned into joy. When I think about this, I cannot help but think of myself. I cannot help but feel like I'm a manger. Let us look inside ourselves, then our own filthiness, sinfulness, weakness, poverty of spirit, and so on come to light. No one could love me like this. Even I may not be able to love myself. Maybe even God would be disappointed. Isn't the manger in the livestock pen still prettier? That's how I feel. However, the Bible tells us this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. According to the Bible, the reason Jesus Christ came to this world was to save us. Jesus Christ was given to us who were born under the wrath of God and had no other option than to die in the filth of sin. By Jesus sleeping in us, which was like a manger, we were able to gain eternal life. We were moved from destruction to resurrection. And it is only by grace Jesus is given to us, not because of anything we have accomplished, but because of God's great love. Therefore, we were resurrected with Jesus and were able to commune with God. We were on the verge of destruction in our sins and had no contact with God. We were just walking in the darkness, just like a manger. Jesus Christ is the light given to us, and the one who turned us into joyful beings. We have been transformed into precious and holy beings by welcoming Jesus Christ into our midst. I recently received a question. What is your favorite Christmas memory? What kind of memories do you have? My favorite memory is the caroling when I was in high school. My home church in Hitachi, we used to go caroling every year. After singing in front of Omika Station, we all went to the homes of church members and sang Christmas songs. At that time, I didn't really like this caroling. It's because I had no confidence in my voice or singing. My mother was a hymn lover, and she used to sing while doing housework. For some reason, I often sang along with her, but I was beginning to dislike my singing voice, which was worse, much worse than my mother's. I didn't want to participate caroling because I was not good at singing. It happened when we visited somebody's the house during the caroling, when I suddenly looked up at the sky. I saw that the stars were shining brightly. Since the house we were visiting was a little far from the city, there were not much lights, so the stars could be seen clearly. I had never seen a sky full of stars like that. I could not take my eyes off it, and I looked up at the stars and praised. Then my singing voice seemed to melt into the starry sky. It's not that I suddenly became good at singing. The ability of my singing remains the same. However, my song resonated in the starry sky, and I was moved from the bottom of my heart, and I was able to praise God with joy. Then I started liking to sing praises. Even now, my wife often tells me that I'm tone deaf, but I still find joy in singing. What was my emotion at that time? Why was I so moved? Why was I so happy to praise God? It must be because I looked at the starry sky and thought of God. Through the starry sky, I was convinced that there is a God who created the heavens and the earth. It was because I thought of Jesus Christ in it and praised him, because I welcome Jesus, the Savior, into my heart. I'm not good at singing, which will not change. I will not change of being weak and easily worried. Even though I say I'm a pastor, it does not change the fact that I still sin. I'm still covered in dirt like a manger. But if Jesus is in me, and if I am the manger in which Jesus sleeps, then I will become a joy. I will become precious. I will praise God with joy. And through me, no matter what form it takes, I am transformed to one who can convey salvation, the message of salvation and joy to others. As we think about Christmas today, let us welcome Jesus into our lives. Even if we look like a manger, let us become the manger in which Jesus sleeps. Just as the suffering shepherds saw Jesus sleeping in a manger and praised him, let us share Jesus Christ through us. If Jesus is with us, that manger will be transformed into a throne. Let us welcome Jesus Christ into our midst, and we strongly, strongly hope that we can be turned into joy. Let us pray.